Luke, we keep hearing January 13th that the league could be starting, but things tick, tick, tick here. Luke, when do you anticipate the NHL season to drop the puck?
Yeah, I was asked to predict this, and I picked a week or two later. I just feel like there's so many little details to iron out that, yeah, that's target date, but to actually get all the guys back in town, squeeze in a training camp, set a schedule, you know, all those things, it might be a little bit later. But I would guess late January. I was wondering about maybe that week between the NFC and AFC championships and the Super Bowl when the sports world's quite quiet. I thought maybe in that week might be a good week to start off because maybe they could grab a little bit more of the spotlight.
So I saw the report Joe Thornton's on his way back and, you know, wants to join the guys and start skating again. Is there, you know, are a lot of guys actually coming back before they're supposed to be here? Because I know the Canadian government's giving guys, you know, players and team personnel exemptions. So is that where it's at right now, where guys can just come back, cross the border back into Canada and go right on the ice the next day? Because if you or me, well, I don't want to include you in the conversation, but if it was me and I crossed the border, I'd have to sit at home for 14 days before I could go to the grocery store. But are guys just coming back and going right on the ice? Because I haven't heard much about it since the Canadian government, you know, made those exemptions for athletes.
So the latest I heard is that they were trying to do kind of a modified quarantine where maybe you spend 1 week completely isolated, and then the second week you could have a quarantine where the Leafs practice facility, for example, is included in your bubble. And that's what they did when they had at the return to play, when they had guys come back for that training camp. The league negotiated a deal with the government where, hey, our bubble also includes the training facility. So you can't stop and grab some takeout or groceries on the way to and from the rink, but the rink is so sanitized and there's testing there that is part of the bubble. So I think there's some negotiating there in terms of, hey, maybe just half the quarantine, you're completely isolated, but the next week we can get you on the ice, but you can't go anywhere else. And the Leafs in particular have a ton of guys skating at that place already. I saw a report that there were 36 guys who were supposed to show up at training camp already using that facility. So the Toronto is way ahead of the game in terms of, compared to other teams, in terms of getting guys back here.
Luke, are we not talking enough about the American Hockey League impact in all of this? We know that these teams potentially will have another taxi squad as well, but if these guys aren't getting regular reps and aren't ready just to jump on the ice and make a difference, that could be an issue for some teams, because we've seen it in other sports, the NFL, Major League Soccer, Major League Baseball, teams that are trying to field teams when an outbreak happens. These things are just inevitable, and are we talking enough about the American Hockey League?
Yeah, it's going to be tricky, right? Especially for teams with big rosters. And part of that is to compensate for that, they're talking expanded rosters, carrying a taxi squad, trying to find ways to help the NHL team. And then, you know, but we're not sure that the AHL will get up and running. I mean, they're targeting February. And, you know, that is a completely gate-driven league. We talk about the NHL being a gate driven league, but you're right, the AHL completely depends on that. No AHL team has a juicy TV deal, so it's going to be quite complicated. And you know, even the junior leagues, I saw yesterday that the WHL had to postpone their start. You know, if you're not a proven NHLer, it's going to be really tricky for you to get in that ice time and develop. And it you know, it's just an unfortunate effect of this year.
I want to talk about your article on sportsnet.ca. If, you know, listeners out there want to get a little peek into the expansion draft that's coming up and who the Seattle Kraken will take, head there and read Luke Fox's article. I saw a couple interesting things on, you know, how the draft has changed from 2000 to now. And you know, Lawrence Gilman, you have a comment from him in there saying it was different back there. It was more of it was a draft, and now it's a harvest. What have you learned from the people you talk with, the Leafs organization, and from the draft in general?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think one of the things is Vegas and Seattle had to pay such an exorbitant fee to even get in the league that, hey, we're not going to pay this massive fee and give all the other teams a crazy influx of cash if we're not going to be competitive right away. So I think that's partly why they tailored the rules to make it more of what Lawrence Gilman calls a harvest. And the interesting thing for the Leafs is they hired Gilman after he had served on the NHL committee that designed the very rules that Vegas and now Seattle will use. So, you know, he has very intimate knowledge with all the inner workings of how many, who has to be protected, who has to be exposed, ways to get around it. And, you know, George McPhee worked the system, you know, like no one anticipated, you know, really milking teams, playing teams off each other, getting extra assets. And, you know, Ron Francis will have a tougher job because I think teams will be kind of hip to what the Vegas Knights were able to pull and go all the way to the Stanley Cup final in their first year. But on the other side, Ron Francis has the advantage of a flat cap, and teams are desperate. I mean, you look at what happened this offseason, and the Vegas Golden Knights are giving away Nate Schmidt for practically nothing. The New York Islanders had to give away Devin Taves, a young top four defenseman, to Colorado for just a couple of picks. Like, there's real opportunity here, I think, for Ron Francis to use the flat cap to his advantage because he has all the cap space. And, you know, how he uses that will be really fascinating. And I thought it was worthwhile just to kind of lay the land about the expansion draft and how it might affect the Leafs heading into the season, because say Zach Hyman signs an extension mid-season, that's going to affect who they have to protect. They'll now have to protect him, and it'll have a trickle-down effect. So I think it'll be really important to see what moves GMs make in-season, because it'll have expansion draft implications.
Luke, we got to run, but real quick, you talk about Zach Hyman because potentially he's a free agent and he's a guy all of a sudden. I just can't envision the Maple Leafs not giving that guy a contract extension. On December 16th, and we're still months and months away from the expansion draft, who are some of the names that you anticipate on this roster right now the Maple Leafs won't be protecting?
Yeah, I think the main guys that Seattle could be circling are Justin Hall and Travis Dermott. Ironically, I think they're going to target the Leafs defense. Alternatively, the Leafs could expose a guy like Alexander Kerfoot if he doesn't have a great season, and they maybe want to shed some of his salary. So that's another option. But I think Dermott and Hall are kind of the guys that should be either worried that they won't be Leafs or excited that they get to join a brand new team.